Men i företag är det fast av.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am Terrell Jackson, and I'm here alone for a little bit. But let's see if this works. I do have TJ on the line. TJ, are you there?
I'm here, listening to you live on the radio.
Well, at least that worked. TJ... Yeah, we're winging this a little. TJ is on his way here. He's running a little behind. What are you about, TJ? 10 minutes?
I'm about 10 minutes away.
All right.
But I'm enjoying listening
somewhat.
To you do your thing. So, what's that?
Yeah. No. I said you're here somewhat. So,
yeah.
Be all right.
I'm here.
Well, I guess I got to do all this by myself. I'll give you the call number. Call in number. The call in number is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. Taj isn't here, and I don't know if my account is linked up to the DDJ Foundation. TJ, is yours? Can we do Twitter?
Yes, I got you on Twitter.
Well, just wait like 5-10 minutes, or you can send them now. TJ will catch up. Our Twitter is at DDJ Foundation. Again, that is at DDJ Foundation, and TJ will check the Twitter when he gets in the studio. I'm going to do the disclaimer because there's no one else to do it but me. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives, have been impacted by it, and have learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempts to help you overcome what you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us. Don't rely on us. You can listen to us and learn and grow from our experiences, but if you need that professional help, go find it, because that's not us. Instagram, you can always check out our Instagram. It's at DD Jackson Foundation. That's DDDEEDEE Jackson Foundation. I gave you the Twitter and our website. You should always go check out our website. It's www.ddjf.org. And you can find information on our foundation and lots of other cool things. All right, it's Wednesday, August 14th. I have not been here for a while, it feels like. I've had a lot of things going on in my world, a lot of growth. Taj isn't obviously here. I think last week he had his birthday. Yeah, because I think his was like a Tuesday or something. So he probably just had his birthday, but mine was... on Thursday, August 8th, and I guess that's all. Well, there's been a lot going on. That's not all that's been going on with me, but that's probably the main thing, I guess. TJ, anything for you for the week?
Let me think, Terrell. I live a pretty quote-unquote boring life, but what has happened in the week? I'm sure there was something. You know what, Terrell? I saw Dora the Explorer, the movie.
Oh, how was that?
And it wasn't bad. You know why it wasn't bad? I know some serious movie critics are going to cringe when I'm saying this. But if you grew up kind of watching Dora the Explorer, I thought it was fun. And I actually think I mentioned this last time, so this may be old news. But maybe not. Maybe it was on my... I think it was on my social media. But it's fun. If you grew up watching Dora the Explorer, I was actually very impressed how the director implemented Dora's story in today's world. So go see that. It's a good family movie.
Is it animated?
It's like live action? I don't know what the term is, but it's like real people, but they have some animation within it.
Like so, Roger Rabbit?
So I guess I guess the correct term is CGI. So there's CGI in it, and it was cool. You know, if you watch Dora and you know Boots and you know the backpack and you know some of the songs, it's pretty clever how they did that. So I would recommend.
Okay,
it.
All right. Well, there you go, Dora the Explorer.
I know nothing great going on except my normal stuff, but that's it.
Okay. I haven't been here.
What about
in so
you?
Long.
I want to know how you are.
Yeah, I don't know when I've been here last, so I don't even know what I've talked about. But I think I may have or may not have talked about Bryce's diagnosed.
You haven't.
I have not.
You haven't.
Okay.
I mean, you have to us, but not to the DDJ.
Okay, so a few weeks back, it had been like a week, and Bryce wasn't normal. He was always sleeping. He was very tired. We get in the car, he falls asleep. We go somewhere, he was just sleeping all the time. At night, he was thirsty, always going to the bathroom, and he wasn't eating. And it got to the point where, you know, the sleeping, I thought, was just him growing, because kids at this age, they just sleep and they just grow. That's all they do. And I even mentioned it, you know, to somebody, and I'm like, oh yeah, he's just sleeping, he's growing. But it was too much. It was all the time, and he was just always tired. And then he started losing a lot of weight. He got really thin, and he was thinner than Adrian. And we got concerned, and we took him to the emergency room just to rule out diabetes, because that's what we were told it could possibly be. And when we got there, we were told to go immediately to the emergency hospital, and because
you're saying, Cheryl, real quick, you mm-hmm. first started at urgent care.
Yes, we were
okay,
driving.
Okay, you said
on our
emergency
home.
Room.
Just
clarifying.
Well, that's what at the urgent care they told us to go to the emergency room. They told us to drive to another hospital and go to the emergency room. So the urgent care first told us that it looks like diabetes and he needs to go there right away. So they sent us that way, and it was just. It was really tough. It was really hard because, of course, you never want to see your child go through something like that. And we had no idea what was going on because we're not educated on that. But having needles and shots and all these things and connected to your kid is always scary. And, you know, it's just I was already going through a lot at the moment. We were already going through a lot at the moment. And this was just an added thing that was heavy. And it turned out that Bryce does have diabetes type 1. And for the next few days, we were in the hospital with him and learning as much as we could. And, you know, it's been different for us. It's been an adjustment. But Bryce is doing very well. He's at the point where he's checking his own levels. And, you know, that was one of my concerns, was just the shots and the checking your blood every day, and it just seems like a lot. I remember the first time I gave him a shot, because we were still in the hospital. They have to make sure that you can do it before they release you, obviously. And I remember the first shot I gave to him, it hurt him. And that was very difficult for me because I didn't want my son to be hurt, but I, you know, it was my first time giving someone a shot. I've gotten a little bit better. And he's gotten a little bit better. You know, I think he's almost getting used to the pricking for sure. And the shots, you know, he's getting used to them. It's at the point where he's not crying or he's almost giggling. But it's been quite an adjustment. And something we're still looking into and finding out, because I think everybody's different. But that's been heavy for us in our household. And the best thing, though, is Bryce is smiling and he's doing okay.
Cheryl, can I say, ask something real quick? First of all, I commend you for sharing all that. And I know you're helping people out there who are dealing with that or are in the same boat. So I commend you. It's so tough for me. Taj and I spoke about this a little bit last week because we don't know so much about it, diabetes. And to clarify, it's diabetes type 1, right?
Yes, there's two types. I think there's several types, but you're mainly type one or type two. And type one is your body can't produce insulin, or it's your pancreas isn't producing insulin, it's not producing any. So you need insulin. You need to get insulin shots to help break down, because if your body doesn't have, if it's not breaking down sugars, it's breaking down fats and everything, which is why he was losing all that weight and his sugar levels were high. But you need insulin to help break down the sugar. That's type one. Type two, your body can produce insulin, maybe not enough. So you can take pills or you can take shots to help increase the level of insulin in your body. So type one, it's like you can't produce it. Type two, you can produce some.
I have a quick couple questions. First, for me, I hate shots. I do.
And so
growing up, hearing about, you know, people with diabetes, I always felt incredibly terrible for them because mm-hmm. they had to go through shots, which I hate. Are the shots every day? And I'm happy to hear Bryce is getting better, you know, almost to the point where he's giggling when he has to take them. So A, are they every day? And B, how is he adjusting to everything?
See, I think when we say shots, for me, it's like, I know a shot is something where you're having something injected into you, medicine or something. But to me, I consider a shot mm-hmm. anytime a needle is pricking me, that I consider that a shot,
yeah.
even though it's not really a shot. Drawing blood is
not.
No, I don't think so. No, a shot is like when they're giving you something, like they're shooting you or something. I think we think like that, but that's not technically a shot. Like when you're drawing blood, that's not a shot. Usually when you get a shot, I think, I could be wrong, someone can correct me. But usually a shot is when you're putting something, a medicine or something, into your body. You're shooting yourself up with something. Where the other things like... But we think of a shot as anything that pokes your body. Anything with the needle is a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's how we think. I don't think that's correct, but someone could correct me. So getting pricked, you consider that a shot, so do I. Getting pricked, like a little yep. flick on the finger, he has to do that pretty much every 2 to 3 hours, or about 3 hours at the most. And it's been, you know, at 12 at night, 3 in the morning, 6 in the morning. And then, you know, before he eats, and then after, like 2 hours after he eats. And it's just an ongoing thing. It's a lot. It's kind of heavy. But the 12, 3, and 6 is supposed to change after a while. They're just learning his pattern. But yeah, he's checking his own levels now, you know. And it seems like when I first learned about it, I felt really bad because I don't like the shots or the pricking and all that. And he's just like me. He's just like me. So all the shots and or drawing blood and all that, he's like me. He doesn't like it. So he was crying I do cry, but whatever. He just was uncomfortable with it. And they were doing that almost every hour with him while he was there. So that's what I was scared for and was upset about, because I knew that was going to be his way of life in a way. But he's gotten used to it, and he's not even, he does it himself. He checks his levels himself. So it's nice to see that he's still, he's able to do that. The hard part is he's still learning that this is forever. And it's not temporary. So it's still hard to hear him ask questions like, can I have this in a year, or will this be away, or do I still have to do this in a couple years? He's not really understanding that it's a lifetime thing. So that's difficult to hear as well. But he's doing well, and he's learning fast. He's learning really quickly, and I'm proud of him for it, you know.
Carol, how's Adrian been with it?
Adrian's doing okay. At first, I think he was scared because he didn't know what was going on, and obviously he wasn't at the hospital as much. But you know, it's crazy. It's like when we first had Bryce and Adrian. Adrian was the one with glutaric acidemia type one, which is not the same thing, obviously, but it's somewhat similar because Adrian doesn't have what is it? Okay, let me get these straight. Adrenaline doesn't have the enzymes to break down tryptophan and lysine. That was TJ. He's here now in studio. So Adrenaline doesn't have the enzymes to break down tryptophan and lysine, which are in amino acids. So Adrian's diet, we have to monitor his protein or else he can have a metabolic stroke, which could cause brain damage. So growing up, it was always constantly monitoring Adrian and his diet. And now with Bryce, it's almost the opposite because Bryce can have protein, but he has to watch his carbs. So they're almost opposite. And, you know, we found a little humor in it because Bree has different diets. Everybody in the household has a different diet. So it's just got a little bit more complicated to feed everyone. How you doing, Mister? You're on
good.
The mic now.
Yeah, I'm here, but I can only imagine what you guys.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. It's different. And how do you say? I mean, it could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be fine. It's just a lot of management. You know, it's not as easy to just get up and go. You have to plan it out. He has to take shots. You got to check his levels. And then if he's high, you got to give him correction. And then you got to count carbs and all these things. And
again, I commend you, man. And I'm just happy he has loving parents who love him with everything. And Adrian's the sweetest boy, so I know he has a great younger brother.
Yeah, yeah. He's good. Bryce is all right, though. Bryce is more concerned about getting back into his game.
His video game.
Yeah. And I knew it would get to that point. I just didn't think it was going to be this quick. Okay. So he's like, hurry up, give me the shot. Can I go? Bye. I'm gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
But he's all right. He'll be okay. It's just, it's tough because, and you know, Bryce's diet, he's like you. He's very, very picky when it comes to food. Mm-hmm. Like when he gets a hamburger, he gets ketchup only, you know, cheeseburger or something. It's just the bun, the patty and the cheese and ketchup, like nothing else. He doesn't want less. He doesn't want onions, no mustard. He's just simple. And as far as drinking, he doesn't drink anything. He drinks water. He drinks milkshakes and he drinks hot chocolate. That's it. He doesn't drink like juice. He doesn't drink any of that. Just water, milkshake and hot chocolate, which helps because you know, obviously,
all
you don't
the sugar drinks.
You don't want him to have sugar drinks.
Yeah.
So it is difficult though because he does still want milkshakes. You know, we give him hot chocolate.
Yeah.
But we give him low fat, you know, or something that you know something with lower carbs and things. And
but you know, he'll adjust.
And the sad part is it's healthier eating and living, which has helped me because I decided that. You know, like he can't have a whole serving of French fries.
Right.
So, you know, if he has half, I'll have his other half.
Yeah.
But I still try not to eat the half because I don't want them and I don't need them. But, you know, if he has a milkshake, it's like he'll have half, I'll have the other half.
Yeah.
So he's not alone in it, you know?
Yeah, that's good, man. Well, again, it's hard for me.
Yeah. It's just management.
But to hear that his spirits are good
is
good, you know, and it's going to be ups and downs, but the same thing we tell other people, you know, you got a community out there and you just got to find it. I've gotten so many people emailing and calling me in support of you and Bryce and your family. So
it's just it was a lot and it came at a time where it was already a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's already a lot. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, I don't understand the reason, but it's okay.
Gotta be grateful.
It's
for
his
life.
Path, and like I told him, I was like, you can inspire somebody one day.
Absolutely.
Maybe one day somebody who has diabetes will say Bryce has that.
And
I don't know. So that's what we're dealing with right now.
Well, thanks again for sharing all that, Terrell. Because I know it's not easy, and love to your beautiful boy Bryce, and he'll be all right. He'll be just fine.
You know, I have an issue with the whole medicine thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like taking medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole business of it is very hard for me.
I mean, it's business.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And it's kind of like the meat business. You know, it's like the business always gets involved and messes with the art, where I feel like I think you're right. The medical business, the business side messes with the medicine and the whole purpose, mm-hmm. which is to get people better.
I went through this with Adrian when he was first born, because like I said, he's GA1, that's the glutaric acidemia type 1. And because of his condition, there was only one like formula he could have, like as a baby. He couldn't be breastfed. He couldn't have this, couldn't have that. Had to have one formula.
One specific formula.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And of course it wasn't covered.
By insurance.
And it was like $500-$600 for the tube.
Like, and how long would that tube last?
Probably like a month. Maybe.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
And it's not covered by insurance.
Not covered by insurance. So you have to pay the $500-$600.
It's crazy.
And you have to have it. So I don't know about all that stuff.
It's crazy.
But it's almost like they scare you, because if you don't do it, then this can happen, that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But it's somewhat the same thing with Bryce,
uh-huh.
with his insulin.
I think the thing that is a bit better in Bryce's situation is that the diabetes is way more common.
But I've noticed a lot, and this is what bothers me, is there's a lot of people out there that can't afford these things. I know they can't.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Because insulin's like $500 with insurance. That's your copay.
Wow.
You know? That, at least for me, that's what it was. It was $500.
Yeah.
And that's that'll probably last a month.
That's just crazy, man.
So that's like five, and that's forever. And it's like, you know, there's other people probably that can't do that. So what are they supposed to do?
Right.
And you have to have this. You have to.
Yeah.
Because you can't, your body needs it and you don't have it. So it's a little sad, you know, and I don't want to say this is a good thing, but it's like you never get involved into something until you are involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like now I'm involved with the whole diabetes thing, and you get thrown into a world where there's already people there,
mm-hmm.
and they're dealing with all these things. So you naturally want to help and get involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had some people reach out to me, and that's been helpful. I obviously know a couple people that have diabetes, so that's been helpful. And, you know, I'll get involved and try to help out and spread knowledge and things the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit different, you know.
And I can imagine.
It's tough because it's like both kids have something that deals with lacking something to keep them. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. But
yes.
like I always say, it could be worse.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, with that being said, should we get into our topic?
Yeah.
We had one.
Yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to go there. I know you picked out the topic. I didn't know if you wanted to go there or just talk, but I'm following you.
It doesn't matter. We can go into this.
What you got?
We have about half an hour, so we can get into this.
Let's hear it.
This is 15 ways to become a better person.
Okay.
Life is a journey, and becoming better every day is the goal. So I just thought, I mean, it's a quick list. But I think,
can I say something real quick?
No,
I think,
not just kidding.
I think when people think of self-improvement, you know, you got, it kind of splits the world in half. You got half who believe in it, who take pride in it. And then you got I'm conscious of another segment of people that are like, as a waste of time, it's stupid. You know, don't waste your time.
Improving yourself? Self-improvement?
Okay, I should say this. Self-improvement articles, self-improvement books, self-improvement things. Investing financially or investing even time into self-improvement. There's a lot of people who don't believe in that. Yeah, a lot. You'd be surprised.
Okay, I can see that.
And, you know, like...
doesn't work.
If you walk into a bookstore and go to the self-improvement class or section, they'll be like, why are you wasting your time?
It's a scam.
And I have to say, I've never felt that. I've never believed that. I'm a believer in self-improvement. I think especially in today's world, where it's a negative world, we need to constantly have some, you know, self-improvement.
Okay.
So I'm excited to hear this list, or at least the the list.
The first thing
that's
on it for 15 ways to become a better person, the first thing that's on it is compliment yourself.
Good.
Every morning before you go on with your daily routine, take a couple minutes to give yourself a compliment. Whether you compliment your outfit, haircut, or how you recently completed a task using your unique skill sets, giving yourself a little emotional boost will make you happy. And when you're happy with yourself, that emotion can be contagious to those around you. Inspirational speaker Tony Robbins has a mantra he says aloud to himself most days to put him in peak performance state.
Okay, I love this. And this is something I don't think I've at least tried to consciously do every morning or every night. You know, after a haircut, you may look in the mirror and say, I like this haircut. I look good. You know, those compliments.
When I get a haircut, I was like, what took me so long to get a haircut?
Yeah.
Like, I got to remember to get more haircuts.
So those compliments are come. But mm-hmm. what I like about this is these are conscious compliments where you're starting your day off complimenting yourself. And that's something I don't partake in, but I think I need to. And I think it would be, I love what it says. You know, it uplifts you and it spreads and it is, I think it's similar to like gratitude, you know, where it changed your perspective.
So. I think it has to start with you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you start off your day feeling good about yourself, then you're going to go into the day feeling good and you're going to have a better day, at least better chances for a better day. So I think that's the most important thing is to have self-love and to look in the mirror and just feel good about yourself and then go on with the day.
I like it.
Number two, don't make excuses. Blaming your spouse, boss, or clients is fruitless and won't get you very far. Instead of pointing fingers and making excuses about why you aren't happy or successful in your personal or professional life, own your mistakes and learn from them. When you do this, you will become a better person. When I personally started living up to my mistakes and downfalls, my life turned itself around. I became happier and healthier, and my relationship with my wife improved. We are happier than ever.
Yeah, I love this one. That my favorite book I read in 2017 was Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. And this is basically...
I'm surprised you remember the author. It's very good.
Oh, he's my second favorite author.
Okay, there you go.
So I'm not going to... And actually, there's...
Your number one?
Robert Greene. And I have a top three.
Okay, now I got to know your number three.
Three, as of now, it's Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay.
But don't get me wrong. You asked me these questions 6 months ago.
It's going to change.
No. 6 months ago, I probably wouldn't know their names. I'm just now... I read enough where I'm consciously... And now I'm starting to follow them. I'm starting to subscribe to their blog. So I'm now investing in their mindset, not just in their books.
Okay.
But anyway, 2017, I read The Ego is the Enemy. It's just called Ego is the Enemy, I believe. It's an amazing book. And this is basically what the book is about. And... it's not that I ever felt like I overly blamed others. I just, after reading that book, really found the magic and power in trying to find fault within yourself in a situation mm-hmm. without beating yourself up. Some people who will find a fault in themselves, they may tear them down too much. I did this wrong. I did this wrong. I did this. I should have done this. I'm stupid. You know, mm-hmm. you end at that point mm-hmm. where... I think there's such power in basically saying, yeah, it didn't work out and I could have done this wrong or I could have done this better. I did this wrong. I did that wrong, but I'll do better next time. That closing statement is crucial. And to me, that is the difference, you know, because a lot of people, I don't know if it's like a fear mechanism where you don't want to admit you're wrong, but I find a lot of power in saying my bad. You know, and that's what Ego is the Enemy is about.
Well, it's really
highly recommend.
I think everybody's different because we all have different experiences in childhood and upbringings. So everybody's going to be different. Everyone's wired different. Taking ownership is difficult for many.
Mm-hmm.
Saying I'm sorry is difficult for many.
Mm-hmm.
Apologizing and, you know, because it taps into a lot. You go into someone's childhood, it could tap into a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It can make them feel stupid. It can make them feel small. It could just do a lot of things. You don't know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get to a point where you can be responsible mm-hmm. and take ownership for your actions and live in it. You got to live in it. And, you know, it's like I posted something on Instagram about truth. I don't think it says it here. You're going to make mistakes and you have to own them and you have to be in them. And that's okay because it's all part of growth.
Yeah.
But you have to, I believe you have to be able to take ownership for your mistakes. And that's part of it. Part of being a better person.
I think it's part of being a better person, but I think it's part of being a more complete person. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing. I assume it's the same thing. But I just think it's such an important quality to...
And it takes work.
It does take work.
And it's not easy. It's not. For some people, it's very, very, very difficult.
But I think it's beneficial to everyone.
It is beneficial to everyone. And trust me, nobody likes to do it. It's not, you know, when you make a mistake or when you screw up, nobody likes to take ownership, but it's the right thing to do.
To me, it also just shows bravery, shows strength.
Yeah. You get better. But that's how you become a better person. That's a sign of growth. That's a sign of getting better and improvement.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say something, but I completely forgot.
I have to say, being on the side is a little different.
It is different, right?
I feel like I'm the guest on your show.
Yeah, I hear it. Yeah, it's a little bit different. I thought there was one more thing. All right, so number two is don't make excuses.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was going to say. At the same time of owning your stuff, you have to be very careful for not putting too much on yourself. Because I think you can go overboard. You know, a lot of things... How do I say this? When you make a mistake, yes, you have to own it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and try to understand what happened. But at the same time, I don't think it's right for you to beat yourself up over and over and over and over again and take that abuse.
And that happens.
Because at some point, you need to own it and you need to move on from it. You got to learn and grow from it and move on.
Yeah.
And you can't continuously take that. And abuse.
It's a couple of things. First of all, you're 100% right. You have to own it and move on. But a lot of people struggle with that move on portion, you know, and not only internally, but I think externally, they may think they're being judged. And, you know,
they do get judged.
But you can't put that weight into the judgment. You got to just focus on you. Mm. I love this one as well, because I think by owning it, like I said, you become stronger, you become better, you become more aware of things. Your perspectives change.
It's hard. It's easier said than done, but you got to just, it's all self-love. You got to just know what you're doing and just work on yourself.
Well,
that's why we're doing 15 ways to become a better person.
Yes.
And we are on to number three. Number three is let go of anger. Letting go of anger is easier. Letting go of anger is easier said than done. While anger is a perfectly normal emotion, you can't let it fester. When this happens, you may make unwise decisions, and more importantly, it may affect your health. Research suggests pent-up anger can cause digestive problems, difficulty sleeping, and even heart disease.
Wow. This is one I think everyone has a challenge with. I still struggle with this one. But I think this is kind of not a normal, but a lot of people struggle with anger. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and what a lot of people don't understand is that when angry, like you said, it can lead to serious health issues.
Yeah, it can.
So, I think it's very important and wise to learn how to be able to let things go and to not, you know, not let anger boil you.
Yeah. The last sentence of it says to help you let go of anger. They suggest write down your feelings, pray, mm-hmm. or meditate, or begin to manage your thoughts.
Mm. So basically, you got to get it out.
Yeah, find a way to some type of release.
Mm.
You know, you can even go for a jog. You can go to a workout.
Yeah, I'm surprised that workout's wasn't in that last mm-hmm. line. Is it?
That's something I've been doing lately.
Yeah.
I've been writing my feelings down.
Okay.
Been trying to meditate a little bit. Praying, of course.
I would think like boxing helps.
Yeah.
It's not on the boxing or
boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a form of exercise. Get your anger out. Basketball.
Yeah. That all's good.
Yeah.
But it's important. Don't, it's kind of like grief.
You can't hold it in.
It is like grief. It's those mm-hmm. kind of emotions that can eat you up and actually cause more damage than the initial reason for it. So you got to make sure you find the right outlet for it. Take it serious.
Life is pretty tough, man.
Oh yeah.
Number four, practice forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce Martyr, maybe? Martyr? I don't know how to pronounce your last name.
How do you spell the last
name? M-A-R-T-E-R. Martyr.
M-A-R-T-E-R.
We're going to go with Joyce Martyr.
Okay.
Suggests you forgive and let go of resentment. She notes, if for no other reason than for yourself, forgive to untether yourself from the negative experiences of the past. Take time to meditate and give thanks for the wisdom and knowledge gained from your suffering. Practice the mantra, I forgive you and I release you.
Mm.
Forgiveness.
I forgive you. I forgive you and I release you. I like that.
Forgiveness is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And It's huge for both people. I feel like my mic is going a little weird, but it's all right. It's all good. I think forgiveness is for both sides. You know, it's needed and required for both sides' growth mm-hmm. and to move forward. And it's not easy for people to forgive.
Oh, no.
But it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary. And I think that's something. Try to understand. I would say to people out there, you have to understand. You got to go deep. You got to go deep and you got to really think and understand things. And when you can understand situations better, and if there's love in your heart, if you understand, it's easier to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy. And it takes a specific type of person. It's like a quote I saw. It takes a strong person to say sorry, but a really, I'm messing up the quote,
stronger
but
person.
Yeah, a stronger person to forgive.
It's,
you know,
it's important for me. My ultimate challenge for forgiveness has been Bahana, Donald Bahana. And it's interesting because every time I go in there, I try.
I'm going to tell you the issue with that.
Yeah, I think we always talk about this, but let's do it again. And by the way,
issue with forgiveness,
real quick, mm-hmm. so people know, Bohanna is the person who murdered our mother and is in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Prison. I shouldn't say jail. He's in prison, and every couple of years or so, we have to go down at his parole hearing to see him, to confront him. And that this is the moment where every time I try to go in there forgiving mm-hmm. the man, but it's hard.
The thing is when you're trying to forgive someone for a certain situation, I think the first step is, and we go back to number two.
They have to admit their mistake.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't make excuses. You gotta own it.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone is able to own something and admit their mistakes or their issue they made or whatever problem they have, that's number one. Once they do that,
then you can
try to understand and forgive.
See, and that's a very good point. But my thing is, I just naturally go to the position that he's not even strong enough. He's not even a solid enough person to understand that he needs to own his mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's embarrassment. Maybe mm-hmm. it's weakness. Mm-hmm. Whatever the reason, he won't own the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. I don't know if he knows that or cares, but it's as if my forgiveness, I try not to have my forgiveness be conditional.
Yes, I get it.
You know what I mean?
And the hard thing is he may never own his mistakes.
I don't think he will.
So,
because of his ego.
Right. So the thing is that if the catch on the forgiveness thing is if you're waiting for them, even though I said number two, they got to own it first.
Mm-hmm.
That's not entirely correct. Because if you're waiting for them to own it, you're giving them all the power
Correct.
On you forgiving them.
Correct.
So at some point, you have to, like this says, you got to let it go. And you just have to forgive them and hope that they come into their own.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, you're carrying all that weight. And it's unfair for you. And you're carrying the weight, you know, and it's a lot.
I'm telling you, man.
Been there.
That's why I try to go in those things. The problem is, especially the last time, the time before, wasn't as bad. I tried to, I'm not saying I really succeeded, but the last time was really annoying because it was like desperation time and he started to kind of badmouth our mom a bit more than normal. And the attorney who was incredibly greasy, who's, you know, and we said this when it first happened, but all he saw was Jackson. And if I could do this, I'll be on ABC and all the news, CNN and all the news outlets tomorrow morning talking about how the Jackson family did this to this poor innocent guy. That quickly, that forgiveness turned into anger for me at that hearing. I'm just pleased that the judge didn't fall for that and didn't, you know, stayed on track with the facts mm-hmm. and kept him there for at least this go around. You know what I mean? Because right. I just saw how everything was spilling and that was an important thing for him to stay locked up.
Right. Right.
But, I don't know. I think it's interesting. You know, an interesting, but important point you talk about, if you're waiting on, an apology or something, you're giving them the power. And that's a very true thing. So that there's a fine line with that, you know, but I just think for you to move on, if you've been wronged, I think for you to move on, forgiveness is a certain step and it can help with it. Is it easy? No. But, yeah. You know, anyway.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
That was number four.
That was number four?
Yep.
Okay.
Number five, be honest and direct. How would you feel if a loved one or business partner lied to you? Chances are you would see that as a violation of your trust.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a better person in either your personal or professional life, you should always tell the truth and state as clearly as possible what you are trying to convey. Learn to articulate your thoughts, feelings, and ideas in an open and honest manner.
Mm-hmm.
Another difficult one.
Yeah.
Honesty.
Yeah.
And being direct.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different layers. One of them is, you know, oftentimes you don't want to hurt the person or you sugarcoat things. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's one. And then also, I don't know.
That's a tough one.
It is. It's very tough.
And you know what the sad part is you ask people, they're all going to give you different answers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because
it's weird. The people that you think would give you the answer to be honest are the ones that are telling you not to be honest.
But that's why the people like Clyde Jenkins were so big. Because Clyde, I don't know how he did it. He just had a way of being completely honest.
And direct, yeah.
But not to the point where it belittled you or made you feel like you weren't worthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he did that. It's like something I still think about, how he could say, I'm not feeling that at all. And I mean at all. He'd say that to you, but say in a way where it's like, just go back. You're so close. You're still amazingly talented, but just isn't working for me. Maybe it's working for this person, but for me, it's not. And he just had a way of doing it with love that I wish was so easy to duplicate.
Well, that's because he was honest with himself. Yeah. He was comfortable.
Yeah.
And being honest again is difficult for people because, again, it's that vulnerability.
Yeah.
And it's also that owning your mistakes.
We never had Clyde on the show, huh?
Mm-mm.
He would have been an amazing guest.
He would have.
We missed that one.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace, Clyde. We love you, man.
Yeah. I think about him all the time.
Yeah.
So
that was the first five.
Yeah.
Real quick, let me try to remember. Number one was... compliment yourself.
Hey.
Number two.
Tell me about that.
You want to wake up and say a couple good things about yourself. It helps start your day with some good energy and with some happiness that can spread.
There you go.
Number two. This is, by the way, all with no technology and no pen. So this is all off my mind. So I'm not saying I'm going to do it right, but here we go. Number two, you got to own your mistake.
Yep. Don't make excuses.
Don't make excuses. Own your mistake. It takes a stronger person to say, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. But do not let it beat you up to the point where you won't try again or you're really negative thinking bad about yourself. Understand, no one's perfect. Everyone makes the mistake. And the truly stronger person can own the mistake, learn from it, and get better from it.
It's actually pretty impressive. You're nailing it.
Well,
all right.
Hold on.
This is the one I don't think you're going to get. It's going to take you a minute, but you're going to get it.
Okay.
This is the only one I'm thinking.
Dang it, man. Okay, I know one's forgiveness, but I think it was four.
Yeah, this is the one you're not.
So forgiveness was four?
But you're going to get it. You're close.
Okay, forgiveness was four.
Yeah, forgiveness is
four. Okay, forgiveness is four. It's very important to... I'm going to try to get back to three, but let me do four. Forgiveness is very important to forgive those who may have wronged you.
Mm-hmm.
Easier said than done in many cases. Some cases it's not, but being forgiveness allows you to hold on to your power and allows you to grow and continue forward without dwelling on any past wrongs. Okay. Number five is being honest. Being honest with yourself. I missed that, but it's just honesty. Be
honest and direct. Yeah.
Be honest and direct. So if you're going to instruct someone or again, another one that's kind of challenging because I don't like to hurt people's feelings. I don't know what it is, but there is a strength in being honest and direct.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy to be honest and direct.
Yeah.
But I think it's necessary. It's hard. It's difficult. It's very hard to be honest and tell someone the truth when it's going to hurt them.
Terrell, I'm trying to think of number three.
I know.
And
do you want a hint?
It's not gratitude as much as I wish it was. you know what, Terrell? Give me the hint. I'll take the hint.
Boxing.
Oh, thank you, man. You got to have an outlet, right? You got to, don't hold it in.
Hold what in?
Don't hold anger in.
There it Dang is. It. Anger.
And this is a good one. Let go of anger. You got to be able to. I like how you said boxy too. Because if you said anything else, I don't know if I would have gotten there, but I came up with the boxy. So you got to find your outlet, whether it's meditating, whether it's writing, whether it's boxing, whatever it is, don't hold on to that anger because that anger will manifest into something worse for you. Mm-hmm. Very much like grief. You got to get it out. Whether it's a little dog that you have, you want to talk to old Pooch, old Max. Let him know how you're feeling. Get it out. But thanks for that.
Speaking about old Max, I think I talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
We have a dog.
I
don't know if we're keeping this dog because it's been at that point.
Yeah.
But I think
it's How been... is life with a dog? First of all, I never would have thought you had a dog. And if I did think you would, I shouldn't say never. I thought it was very unlikely you would have had a dog. But if you did have a dog, I thought you would have a big dog.
Really?
Yes.
No.
At least. Like a Doberman Shepherd.
This is a good one.
I never thought you would have had a small dog.
Really?
Never. Never. But I want to, because you never liked dogs really that much.
It's not that I don't like them. I'm just not that doggy person. Right? Like, I don't know.
You may change.
But we had some weird dogs growing up.
Yeah.
We had some weird dogs, and that, I think,
screwed me up. What is your dog's name? I don't even know your dog.
Senor Papi Chulo out of Pacoima.
The whole
that's how we introduce him. His name is Senor Papi Chulo.
But where's the out of Pacoima?
Well, that's where he's from. He's from Pacoima.
That is so good. Wait, how do you know he's from Pacoima?
Because that's where we went. I went to go.
You found him in Pacoima?
I went to a car dealership in Pacoima.
No way.
And Bree saw this lost dog wandering around. And of course, she had to go save it. And didn't have a tag, didn't have anything, was looking for the owner. The dealership said this dog's been running around for 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did it survive?
And we took it to the vet the next day.
And?
Didn't have a chip, didn't have anything. And they do their little check around to see if anyone, and no one's.
Senor Papi Chulo.
Papi Chulo.
Papi Chulo. I actually like
that. I mean, that's not his full name.
I actually like that.
We call him Poppy, though.
I actually like that as his full name. But real quick, how is it? How is the
You know what's funny? I promised the kids a dog.
You're like 2 months in, right?
About one.
Okay.
One. I promised the kids a dog about a year or two ago if they were good all year. And I never, at one year for one Christmas, I called and was looking for a dog. And they wanted a Chihuahua. Uh-huh. And the dog I was going to get was this brown Chihuahua, blah, 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 blah. I never ended up getting the dog. And then, of course, last month, we run into the same dog. Like, it's the dog I would get for them.
Really?
Yeah, it was the same type. It's not the same dog, but it's the same exact thing. If I had to pick a dog, it would be this guy.
So there you go. He's meant to be.
I don't know. So that happened.
And he's a good dog.
So now we're doing that. And then, like, a week later, Bryce is in the hospital with diabetes.
Yeah.
And
you know,
we're like, are we keeping the dog? We're not keeping the dog. And Bryce is like, we got to keep the dog. So now, what are you going to do?
Okay. First of all, time out. You don't know how old this dog is.
It's about 1.5, maybe 2.
How do you know in that?
Because of the vet we took it to. The look at teeth is good.
This is beautiful. Yeah. This is beautiful. This was meant to be. Senor Papi Chulo came into your life for a purpose.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Out of Pacoima.
I believe it.
He came into your life out of a purpose. And I'm going to tell you someone, because as a dog person myself growing up, Yabo was crucial for me and my recovery, quote unquote, ability to deal with mom.
Yeah.
And even the divorce, mom and pops' divorce. Without Yabo, I could be a completely different person. Wow. So from one young dog owner who doesn't have a dog now, who's in the similar boat where I'm starting to look, I think it's crucial.
It's cool. It's all right. You know what's funny? It's like, now that I have one, I don't mind him. Like,
Do the kids have to take care of him? Or
they're supposed to, but guess who walked him this morning?
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always going to happen.
But it's good. You got outside. You got to walk in and Senor Papi Chulo.
Like 7 o'clock walk. But it's okay. I'm used to it.
Yeah.
And I don't even mind it so much.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Are you that guy who takes the bag?
Yeah. I had to take the bag today.
Yeah. And you're like praying, please.
I was like, really? Why do I get stuck with this?
Yeah.
But you know what? I didn't want to be that dad because both the boys love, they love dogs. Bree's mom has dogs and they've been wanting one. And I didn't want to be that dad that was like, you know, when they get older, it's like, did you have dogs growing up? It's like, no, my dad wouldn't let us. You know?
You're right, man.
So it's like, just because it's not my preference, you know, I can't do that to my kids.
Well, again, you're an amazing father and I appreciate hearing a father talk that way because you're putting yourself secondary. True. And I want to say this, that dog, Senor Papi Chulo, out of Pacoima.
Yeah, that's right.
Is here in your life for a reason. And I think you got
to and he's a really good dog.
I know. I heard. You he's told a really me that good dog. Night. So I think it's all great. I think the boys are going to love him. I think he's important for the boys from here on forward.
Yeah.
And I look forward to meeting Senor.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. He's pretty funny. All right. Well, we'll stop there. Yeah. We did five. We'll save the list for the next show.
Yeah.
We'll pick it up at 6.
And I apologize for being late.
No, that's good.
You did well.
It worked out.
Handling out. But I thought it was a good show. It was an informative show. And there's always room for improvement. So anyone who's in starting to get into self-improvement, don't let the naysayers down talk you. Our world is filled with some negativity and, you know, judgment. So take a chance, find yourself a great self-improvement book. Read on self-improvement magazines, whatever it is. It's very important, I believe, in your life to become the best you possible.
Well said, T.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a good week. Keep growing and stay positive.
Adios.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the DD Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.